All right, sounds like we're having some fun discussion, but let's go ahead and jump into things here. I hope you had an opportunity to share about a time that you were lost with someone, and hopefully you can laugh about it now. But I'm going to tell you what I tell our students just about every Sunday night when I chat with them. We realize you could be anywhere else in the world this morning, but you've chosen to be here with us. And we think that's fantastic. We think God has a plan for it. I think there's a good chance you could be a different person when you walk out those doors than you were when you walked in. And as I said just a few minutes ago, Kyle and the elders are away. I'm the only one left, so I'm who you've got today. But we're going to have a good time together. Last week, Kyle shared our vision and mission for the church. We had our annual meeting, our big vision Sunday. And I had one key takeaway from his message last week. So my goal this morning is to get you out of here in about 12 to 15 minutes. All right. But nobody heard the message last week. Oh, okay, some of you are excited. I'm just kidding. You're going to be here forever because you're second service and I can talk as long as I want. No, we won't do that. But now in our preaching schedule or calendar, I thought we were at the end of the walk, but I think Kyle has another week or two. So we're kind of nearing the end of that series where we've been talking through Romans 12 through 16 and how we live our Christian life, how we go through the walk towards about a month or so ago. So a few weeks ago, Brendan Hitchcock, one of our new elders, he shared a message with us called The Talk. If you were here and you remember that, it was from the book of James, and it was about our words, the words we use to speak to other people, and then the words we use to speak about ourselves to ourselves. So over the course of the last few months, we've had The Walk, and we've had The Talk. And this morning, I've titled our message, The Wanderer. The wander sounded weird, so we're going to call it The Wanderer. So we've had The Walk, The Talk, and then The Wanderer. And we're going to discover together, as we look at every fourth grade boy's favorite Bible story, the story of Samson, that if we're not intentional about our walk, we can tend to wander. And when we wander, we can get into some big trouble. But before we get into our passage today, I did have you discuss this question. Have you ever been lost? And maybe you can recall a time when you were young at the store, the department store with your mom, and you got behind one of those big things of clothes and you couldn't find your mother. You know, maybe that was traumatic for you like it was for me. Maybe it was before we had directions on our phones, right? And you got lost on a driving trip and you went hours in the wrong direction before you realized it and you had to correct. Or maybe it was a hike in the woods, and that can be scary too if you get lost and you can't figure out which direction you're going. Well, I've been lost plenty of times in my life. Most of them happened in a car. And I can remember that my very young marriage nearly ended about 20 years ago because of a TomTom GPS. Does anybody remember those things? I just remember wanting to whip it out onto the interstate and just figure it out on our own so we didn't have to fight each other in the TomTom. But that's not the story I'm going to tell today. I want to tell you about the time my dad got lost in the desert. Now, my brother and his wife and their daughter, they live in San Diego, California, and they love to take advantage of the great weather and, you know, the national parks and all of that stuff, the natural beauty that's out there in the desert. And my parents go out there a couple times a year, and the last time they went out, they took them to the Anza Borrego Desert State Park, which you can see some pictures, and they hiked the Borrego Palm Canyon Nature Trail. And you see these pictures, and these ones in particular, stunning scenery, right? But if you look at those pictures and you look at the terrain, a lot of it looks exactly the same, right? Pretty easy to get lost and not tell where you are if you don't stay on the path. And you can see in one of these next pictures that my brother and my dad, they did make it to the trail end. So they hiked the trail together and got to the trail end. Now, my sister-in-law and her daughter, they stopped about halfway. So when my brother and dad got to the end, my brother wanted to kind of hustle back and catch up with them and make sure they were okay. And that left my dad alone to make his way back to the trailhead. And if you know my father at all, this was probably not the best idea. All right, some of you know my dad, and you know this was probably not a good idea. So he started out following the trail, right? It's marked very well. But eventually, he wandered off the path, and that's when he got into trouble. Everything started to look the same. Couldn't find the trail markers. He didn't see any other hikers. He was lost, and he was potentially in some serious trouble. Does anybody remember the movie 127 Hours with the guy that, like, his arm got caught and he had to cut off his own arm to get back to safety? Sorry, that's pretty gruesome, but that's what he's starting to think about. I'm going to have to cut off my own arm to get back to safety. So anyway, he starts to panic and he starts to call out, "Jordan, Jordan, help, I'm lost." And my brother had realized that it was taking my dad too long to get back to the trailhead. So he had gone back looking for him. And eventually he did hear him, but it took them some time to find one another because of the way the terrain was. But yes, he did make it onto the path, and he wasn't wandering anymore. He decided, "I'm going to stay on the path to get back." Well, the moral of the story is this: don't go hiking with Rick Jenks. All right, that's the first thing we take from that story. Secondly, this is the real moral of the story: life gets dangerous when we wander, and when we wander, we can get into a lot of trouble. Our lives get dangerous when we wander, and when we wander, we can get into a lot of trouble. And obviously, I'm not just talking about taking a wrong turn on a road trip or getting lost on a hike. We all wander. Right, whether it's the things we choose to look at on our phones, the things we watch on TV, the things we read in books, the thoughts we think about a certain coworker or classmate, credit card purchases we make, the times we choose to skip church, or the people we choose to hang out with, our hearts are prone to wander, just like we sang this morning. And there's this guy in the Bible named Samson. And if any Bible character's life was characterized by wandering off the path and wasting their potential, it was him. There's a lot for us to learn from this story, so we're going to look at why we wander, what happens when we wander, and how we can get back on the right path. But before we jump right into his story, I want to give you a little bit of context about the book of Judges, which is where we find his story. So the book of Judges chronicles a time in Israel's history when Israel had no king and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. That's from Judges 21:25. This refrain is repeated a couple of times in the book of Judges. It illustrates just how bad things were in Israel from the time they settled the promised land until they had a king. It was kind of chaos for the people then. And this is kind of how I feel like it is in America right now a little bit, right? Everyone's kind of doing their own thing because we don't recognize the king. But that's a sermon for another day. But if you read the book of Judges, you'll notice that the people of Israel follow a pattern. Many have called it the cycle of Judges. I've got it on the screen up there for you. So they begin by serving the Lord, and then they wander and fall into sin and idolatry. After this, Israel's enslaved by their enemies. God sends the Philistines or someone else to come in and punish them. They cry out to the Lord because it's been a terrible time for many years. God raises up a judge, book of Judges, God raises up a judge to deliver them. Israel's delivered. They serve the Lord again until they wander, fall into sin and idolatry, at which point the cycle continues. So you get the idea. And Israel's in another period of enslavement when we pick up Samson's story in Judges 13:1. It says this: "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. So after this verse, we're introduced to Samson's parents, Manoah and his wife. Now, Manoah's wife is barren, and she can't have any children, but like we see many times in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord visits her, and he tells her that she's going to have a child. But the angel has some special instructions for this child. He's to be a Nazarite from birth. Even while she's pregnant with Samson, she's supposed to abide by these Nazarite rules or these Nazarite vows. Most of us don't know what those are, but there's three main components to being a Nazarite, and we find them in Numbers 6. So here they are. Numbers 6, verses 3 through 6. One, they're supposed to abstain from alcohol. Two, they're not supposed to cut their hair. And third, they're not supposed to touch dead bodies. I made this alliterative for us, so it's easy to remember. All right, no booze, no barbers, no bodies. All right, no booze, no barbers, no bodies. That's the Nazarite vow. This is how Samson is supposed to live his entire life. Other people would take this vow for a certain period of time to be used by God for a special amount of time, and then they'd finish their vow and go on and live the rest of their lives. They'd cut their hair, they'd drink, whatever, touch dead body. I don't know. That's weird. Anyway, Samson was supposed to do this for his entire life, right? This, you're supposed to be characterized by this. Don't get drunk, don't touch any dead stuff, and don't cut your hair. That one about not cutting your hair is kind of the easiest one to see, right? You can't really tell the other two. But if someone has hair that's never been cut, it's a visual representation that they're kind of set apart for something special, a special time for God to be used by God. And I know what you're all thinking. You know, the really important question here is, what did his hair look like? Right? Well, I can guarantee one thing. It was not a mullet. All right. And it wasn't this floppy lettuce thing that the young boys have going on now. Anybody have one of those? No. Anyway, I wandered onto TikTok about a week or so ago, and I happened to see this video about what would happen to your hair if you never cut it. So they're spying on me writing my message, I guess, on Samson. But basically, your hair would just kind of grow out, and then it would start to grow together. It would fuse itself together. It would get into kind of long tails, kind of would end up basically like dreadlocks, the way that we view dreadlocks. So I would guess that Samson kind of had some long dreadlocks, and later in the passage we read that he had 7 braids. So I'm guessing they were probably kind of braided into 7 big braids kind of falling off of his head. So now that we have the important stuff out of the way, let's move on and jump into Judges 13 verses 24 and 25, which says this. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him while he was in Mahanath Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So we're off to a good start, right? Samson is on the path God has set out for him. He's abiding by his Nazirite vows. He's growing big and strong. He's allowing the Spirit of God to fill him and use him in great ways. But let's pause for a second and say that I hope that's you right now. I hope that things are going really well for you, and I hope that you feel like you're on the path, like you're locked in, right? You're on the same page as God. Your Bible study and Bible reading is going really well. Your prayer life is fantastic. Your relationships are great. And if that's not you, you can at least say, well, I'm familiar with that. I've been in that space before. I've had that experience. But many of us are familiar with wandering too, right? The times where we're not spending time with God. The times where we're not intentional about finding Christian community, or we're entertaining thoughts and behaviors that we shouldn't be. We wander. And unfortunately, that's where Samson is headed. Right? These verses are about the last bit of good news in his entire life. After this verse right here, Samson really begins to wander. So we're going to look at some specific events in his life, and we're talking about how and why we wander in some of the same ways that Samson did. And I'm going to attempt to categorize these steps that Samson took as he wandered, and we're going to call them ways to waste your potential. All right, so if you're a note taker, that's kind of your headline here, and then we're going to fill it in a little bit. And full disclosure, I'm borrowing some of these categories from Craig Groeschel. He preached a great series of messages on Samson about 12 years ago. I happened to find it. Guys, if you're interested in the story of Samson at all, this message series is geared towards men. Give it a listen. Fantastic. About 35 minutes of sermon. You get through it easy during your weekly commute. There's 4 of them. Check them out. But anyway, let's jump into these ways to waste your potential. So we're going to pick things up in Judges 14, 1 through 2. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." And I don't know about you, but I picture Samson as like this 6'5", like roided out guy with these big dreadlocks. "Now get her for me as my wife." You know, kind of, you know, a little rough guy. But this is where we see the first way that we potentially waste our potential. And it's when we wander into lust. We wander into lust. And lust will certainly cause us to wander off the path that God has for us. It's the attitude that says, "I want it, I've got to have it, I can't focus on anything else until it's in my possession. I've got to have it." Now don't get me wrong, desire in and of itself is not a bad thing. But when we desire things that are outside of God's plan for us, that's what we call lust. That's what we call coveting. And this is what we see over and over again in Samson's life. Now, marrying a Philistine woman wasn't necessarily a breach in his Nazirite vows, right? But it was a breach of the laws of God. When the people were going into the promised land, God had told them, don't intermarry with the people that are there. Deuteronomy 7, 2 through 4 kind of spells this out for them. He says, if you marry these people, they will cause you to wander after false gods. You'll no longer follow me. You'll wander after these idols. They will lead you astray. And that's what happens to Samson. Lust does the same thing to us, right? Men, this is a big one for us. We open our phone, or we turn on our computer, we switch on the TV, and the opportunities to lust are never ending. Whether it's a scantily clad woman, or a bass boat, or a new Silverado, I've got one out in the park, not a new one, but I've got one out, so I know what I'm talking about. Like, we can lust after that stuff, right? So we've got to be careful not to let our watching or our consuming to lead to wandering. Ladies, you're not immune from this. HGTV and Instagram have created TikTok, Snapchat, whatever, created never-ending opportunities for you to lust after a bigger kitchen, a face you don't have, right? Like, you got all these filters and it makes you look like somebody else. It's not you, or an ideal that you can't live up to. Again, desire is not a bad thing, but when we start to covet, we wander away from what God has for us and we waste our potential. So the first way that we waste our potential and we wander is by lusting, giving in to lust. It takes us outside of God's plan for our lives. Second way that we wander and waste our potential is by dabbling. And I'm going to explain this a little bit more. It's just the best word I could think of for this concept. We dabble. This is where we experiment with activities and attitudes that we ought to be staying away from. Let's read how Samson dabbled. We're going to pick up his story in verses 5 through 9 of chapter 14. So Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. Is that easy to do? Like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, he tore it just like he'd tear a young goat. Okay, weird. We'll keep going. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. So take note of that. Didn't tell them what happened. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. And in it he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. He scooped out the honey with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. All right, do you remember Samson's Nazirite vow? Say it with me. All right, no booze, no barbers, no bodies. All right, so he breaks one of these vows here. And I'll admit, right, it's incredibly impressive that he tears this lion apart. Like, I don't care that it's a young lion. If I saw a lion coming towards me, I don't think I'd have the courage to stand there very long. Right, I'd be gone. But he stands up to him, tears it apart, just like it was a young goat, you know, easy peasy, whatever. I don't know, but he did it, right? And I think he would have been okay if it ended there. Think it would have been, God would have given him a pass, you know, for a self-defense kind of kill here and touching a dead body in that way. But it doesn't end there. Instead, Samson dabbled with deceit. Right? He decided to wander off the path. At the very beginning, he didn't tell his parents about the lion, right? And then the text says that he turned aside when they went back down there and he went to look at the lion again. He grabs the honey, scoops it out of the dead body, and then he shares it with his parents and deceives them again. So he's dabbling with all of this stuff that he shouldn't been doing. But come on, right? He's not the only one who's done this. We've all been guilty of this before. Some of us can dabble with things and we're just fine. It turns out okay. But others of us have some trouble sometimes. We go too far. Maybe for you it was alcohol. You went to a restaurant or a party with some friends and you dabbled. You had a few drinks. No big deal. But over time, you dabbled a little bit more and more, and eventually you had a drinking problem, and it turned into alcoholism. And now it's affecting your work, and it's affecting your relationships. For others, a little dabbling with social media. You downloaded Facebook and then Instagram and then Snapchat and TikTok, and eventually you end up opening a private browser and you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, and now you've got a porn problem that affects your marriage, it affects your dating relationships, affects your relationships with your kids. Maybe for you it's financial stuff. It started with a credit card, dabbled with that, auto loan, car loan. Well, same thing. Auto loan, boat loan, sorry, boat loan, cash out refi, a HELOC. You know, next thing you know, you're up to your eyeballs in debt and you can't be generous anymore because you're too busy paying the bank. And now I'm going to meddle a little bit with this last one. You started to dabble, maybe you started to dabble with kids' sports. Nothing wrong with that. They play on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Great. Still go to church. But then the coach says, man, your kid's really got potential. We could use them on the travel team. But we play on the weekends and we travel most every weekend. You're going to be out of town 3-4 weeks a month. Begin dabbling with that stuff. And eventually, you're lucky if you come to church 10 or 12 times a year. We dabble with things outside the path God wants us on. It can lead to wasted potential. It's dangerous when we dabble. Well, there's a final attitude that causes us to wander and leads to wasted potential, and that's pride. It's pride. We wander into an attitude of pride. So pride's the attitude that says, I can handle it. I don't need any help. Got this on my own. Pull myself up by my bootstraps and take care of everything. And I think if there's one word that really characterizes Samson and sums up his whole story, it's this. Now, we're not going to take the time to read all of his exploits in chapters 14 and 15, but I do have some bullet points I'm going to throw up on the screen for you. So he ends up marrying this Philistine woman against the counsel of his parents. They didn't want him to do that, but he went ahead and did it anyway. Then at his wedding feast, he tells this unfair riddle for a bet. You know, he said, I bet you 30 sets of clothing, which I guess is what they gambled with back then. I know it sounds weird to us, but they gambles 30 sets of clothing that you can't guess this riddle. And for you nerds out there, similar to Bilbo asking Gollum what was in his pocket, right? That's not fair. He didn't know there was a ring in there. No, who would know? How would you know what's in there? Similar kind of riddle that he asks. And then his new wife gets the answer out of him, and she tells his enemies. And then they tell him the answer to the riddle, and he calls his wife a heifer. It's not a very nice thing to do, but he did that, so that's got that against him as well. But then to pay the cost of this bet that he made, he goes out and he murders 30 random people to get these 30 sets of clothes. Later, in his vengeance and anger, he sets an entire field on fire, destroying a bunch of crops. And then he killed 1,000 men at one time with the jawbone of a donkey. Right? Very crazy story. But as crazy as it seems, much of this was orchestrated by God. Judges 14:4 actually tells us that God was at work in Samson's love for Philistine women so that he could punish the Philistines. And several times in the midst of his exploits, it says that the Spirit of God came upon Samson to commit these murders and to commit these crimes and these acts of vengeance. However, there's never an acknowledgement by Samson that God was at work through him. He took his vows for granted. He took the strength that came from God for granted. He wandered his way into lust and anger and violence and revenge. Yet no matter how much he seemed to wander and waste his potential, God continued to use him. In fact, in Judges 15:20, it says that Samson judged or led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So it appears that there's this extended period of time where Samson is just acting crazy. But God is using him to lead the people of Israel and destroy their enemies. He's dabbling with all the deceit and pride and lust and all that. He's getting into all kinds of stuff, but God is using him for over 20 years. But Samson's pride is ultimately what leads to his most epic and famous failure, and that's his relationship with Delilah. And this is the story that many of us are familiar with. And I want to share with you the final way we wander and waste our potential, and that's one step at a time. We wander and waste our potential one step at a time. Let's look at Judges 16:1. It says, one day, Samson went down to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute, and he went in to spend the night with her. So for 20 years, God's been using him to deliver the people of Israel and to judge their enemies. And one day, he just decides to walk down to Gaza to visit a prostitute. Now, Gaza's been in the news recently, so we all kind of know the general area of where it is. But from where Samson was in Israel to get to Gaza, which was the headquarters of the Philistines at that time, was about 25 miles. And I found a step calculator on the internet. And, you know, like I said, I picture him as like at least a 6 foot five guy. So you got to put in how tall you are to know what your stride would be. And from what I can figure, 25 miles for Samson was about 56,500 steps. 56,500 steps. One day, he decides to walk 56,500 steps into enemy territory, not to battle, but to visit a prostitute. This means he had 56,500 opportunities to turn around. He had 56,500 opportunities to get back on the path that God wanted him on. Instead, Samson wandered and wasted his potential one step at a time for 56,500 steps. Now, most of us are familiar with the rest of the story. Like I said, this is, you know, every fourth grade boy's favorite Bible story. So Samson, he went to this one prostitute, didn't like her very much. Eventually he finds Delilah, and he seems to like her a lot because he keeps going back every night. And while he's there, his enemies realize that he's got this pattern. He's going to see Delilah every day. So they recruit Delilah to find out the source of Samson's strength so that they can capture him and kill him. So while he's there, Delilah continues to try to trap him, asks him what the source of his strength is, and he lies to her many times, multiple times, right? And each night when she tries to trap him in this way that he describes, he's able to break free and defeat his enemies and goes on about his day, continues to see Delilah even though she's trying to get him captured. But tragically, or one night though, finally, Samson caves. Right, and he tells Delilah that his hair is the source of his strength, that he's been a Nazirite since birth and he's never had his hair cut. But if someone were to cut his hair, he would lose all his strength and be captured. And that's exactly what happens. Delilah tells the men, she gets him to fall asleep, she cuts the seven braids of his hair. And tragically, we read this in Judges 16:20. It says, he awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. So Samson is then captured by these men. They gouge out his eyes. They bind him. They treat him like a slave and put him to work in the mill. Now, I've been taught this story since I was young. I've read it dozens of times. But the last time I read this story, I asked a question I had never asked before. And it inspired this message, and the answer to it is kind of where we're headed here in just a minute. And my question was this: why did Samson tell Delilah about his hair? Have you ever thought that as you read through the story? Like, dummy, why did you tell her about your hair? If you knew this was the source of your strength, why reveal that to her? Obviously, she keeps doing the things you've been telling her. She's going to do this one. Well, to help us answer this question, I want to pause and read you a quote from Larry Osborne. It relates to Samson's seeming success and what he had experienced up to the moment that he told Delilah about his hair. Let's read this quote together, or read it along with me. Results can be deceiving. Whether I'm succeeding or failing has little or nothing to do with whether I'm on the right path. Yet most of us tend to judge our relationship with God by how things are going. But success and failure reveal nothing about our spirituality. Even being used mightily by God is not a sure sign that we're on good terms. For me, this is a very sobering thought. Take a moment to soak it in. Because Samson had wandered, he'd lusted, he'd dabbled, he was a very proud man, yet he was successful. Right? God had used him to do amazing things for 20 years. And I'm convinced that he believed that God was going to protect him no matter what happened. Even if he told Delilah about his hair. I'm convinced. He thought, well, I'm untouchable. God's going to keep using me. But let's be real again. I'm right here with you. I used to listen to a pastor who said, preach from your weaknesses and you'll never run out of things to say. Right? So here I am. Right here with you. We've all operated like Samson from time to time. Can we admit that? We lust. We dabble. We wander one step at a time off the path that God wants us on. We waste our potential. But in our pride, we think that as long as I'm still doing some good things for God, he's going to protect me. He's not going to allow me to have a public major failure. He's not going to allow me to be exposed. But sometimes God finally says, enough. And in my almost 13 years on staff here, and in my time as just a follower of Jesus and being around the Christian community, I've seen this happen more times than I want to remember. People who we think are doing great. They're involved in different ministries. Their family seems to be doing really well. But in secret, they've been wandering. They've been dabbling. And eventually that lie, that life they had been living, is exposed because God said, enough. It could happen to any of us. But I don't want it to be you. And I don't want it to be me. One step at a time. Samson had wandered away from the path God wanted him on. He had flaunted God's graciousness one too many times. He led the people of Israel in his own power for the last time. God had finally had enough, and Samson had to be humbled. And the same thing can happen to us. When we wander, we can end up in a lot of trouble. Now, Samson's story doesn't end there. And honestly, I keep saying that he wandered off the path that God wanted him on. But we'll find that he ends up right where God wanted him in the end. He had experienced this public moral failure. He was humiliated, but Judges 16:22 says this. The hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. I think it's an interesting detail to slip into the text, but it should be encouraging to us. And we're going to bring it up again in a little bit. Now, most of us know the rest of the story. The Philistines have this big religious celebration. They want to bring out their latest trophy, who is Samson. So they remove him from his time working in the mill like an animal. And they bring him out to the temple to flaunt him and mock him before their god, Dagon. So Samson comes out and he asks to be placed near the pillars of the temple so that he could lean against them. And this is where he offers up his final prayer in Judges 16:28. He says, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Let me die with the Philistines. And God answered his prayer. And with a final feat of strength, he brought down the entire temple, killing more Philistines on that day than he had in his entire life up to that point. Well, now what? What can we learn from the story of Samson? Why did we spend so much time talking about this guy whose life was a mess? A complete disaster. So much wasted potential. Well, I hope, like me, that you've learned a lot. But let me give you a few key takeaways. First thing, if you're on the path, stay on the path. If you're on the path, stay on the path. Remember that things started well for Samson, right? He was honoring his vows. He was close to God. He was allowing the Spirit of God to work in and through him. And hopefully that could be you. And I have a little tip, a little way to kind of help you do that. Ryan shared this idea with me earlier this week, the guy who leads worship, if you're unfamiliar. He said it helps us to think about the kind of person that we want to be. To think about the kind of relationship that we want to have with God. And then work your way backwards to how you get there. So do the things that will allow you to become that kind of person. Practice the habits that will allow you to have that kind of relationship with God. This is how we stay on the path. We put these principles in place so that we can go on the path with God, allowing the Spirit of God to help us do those things so that we can stay close to Him. So if you're on the path, allow the Spirit of God to keep you on the path. Second, if you, like me, probably in any one of these areas are wandering, turn back. If you're wandering, turn back. Remember how far Samson walked to Gaza. 25 miles, 56,500 steps. At any point, he could have stopped and turned around. He could have decided, you know what? I probably shouldn't go down to Gaza and visit a prostitute. I should go back and get back on the path. You can do the same thing. And I don't know where you're dabbling. Think about it. Take a moment to think about the areas in your life where you might be dabbling. It could be flirting with a coworker, drinking too much, living beyond your means, being rude at home on the internet. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you don't have to keep doing it. You can stop at any time. You can turn around and get back on the path. Let me give you another tip for doing this one well. A sobering thing to do. Think about the impact that your public moral failure would have on you. Think of the impact that it would have on your family, on your work, on your kids, on this church, on God. Take some time to wrestle with that. If I keep wandering in this direction, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? And marinate on it for a little bit and decide whether or not you want to keep wandering down that path. So if you're wandering, turn back. It's not too late. Finally, if you're off the path or you've never been on the path, embrace God's grace. If you're off the path or never been on the path, embrace God's grace. I need us all to recognize that failure is an event. It's not who you are. Just because you fall and make a mistake, it doesn't mean you're ruined. You can be restored. And that's what we read about in Samson's story. That's why that little detail about his hair is in there. God was restoring him one little bit at a time as his hair grew back, as he had time walking around the mill like a common mule, marinating on all the bad things he had done, but how gracious God had been to him. His hair grew back and his relationship was restored. God doesn't punish us the way that we deserve because he did all of that on the cross. Okay, so in the middle of your wandering and your dabbling and your lust and your deceit and your pride and mine, remember that God's not taking that out on you because he already took it out on Jesus. Thank God for his goodness and grace to us. And this lesson we can learn from this man whose life was so messed up but was restored at the very end. That could be you and that could be me. If you're off the path or never been on the path, embrace God's grace. Talk to me. Talk to somebody you came with today. If you've never done that before, we'd love to introduce you to Jesus so that you can experience that grace. So this morning, are you feeling a little lost? Have you maybe wandered off the path in a certain area in your life? You're dabbling with some things, some activities, some thoughts that you shouldn't be dabbling with. And you need to get back on the path. Turn back while you still have a chance before God says enough and embrace his grace. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for stories like this in the scripture because these characters are so relatable. If everybody in there was perfect, there wouldn't be much for us to learn. So we thank you for people like Samson, who dabbled and wandered and was proud and lusted just like we do, but was restored in the end as his hair grew back. We pray, God, that you would do a work in our hearts and our lives. For those of us who are wandering off the path, that you would inspire us to turn back, to get back on the path with you. For those who never have, God, that you would do a work in their hearts and their lives and recognize that you've been so gracious to them and they haven't even known it. They didn't even know it. Thank you for Jesus and for his work on the cross that allows us to have this great relationship with you. Pray as we leave here today that we'd be different people than we were when we walked in. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, thank you for coming. Hope you all have a great week. We'll see you next week for Palm Sunday. Happy St. Patrick's Day.